Middle East and Africa.
Congo's failed putsch. The coup will not be televised. A live-streamed attempted putsch shakes Congo and the region.
In the very early hours of May 19th, around 50 armed and camouflaged men screeched through Kinshasa, Congo's capital. First, they attacked the home of Vital Kamerhe, a government minister. After a fruitless 40-minute firefight with his guards, the attackers moved on to the Palais de la Nation, the official residence of Félix Tshisekedi, the president. There, the supposed leader of the coup had ample time to live-stream his rebellion on Facebook. "We can't put up with Tshisekedi and Kamerhe any longer," declared Christian Malanga, an eccentric Congolese politician and former army officer, as his men held up flags of the Republic of Zaire, as Congo was named until 1997, when Mobutu Sese Seko, a kleptocrat, was deposed by Rwanda-backed rebels. By dawn, this keystone coup was neutralised and Mr. Malanga was dead, according to the army. The security forces said they arrested dozens of people, including three Americans and a British man. Two of the Americans were Mr. Malanga's son, Marcel, and his business associate, Benjamin Zelman Pollen, a convicted marijuana dealer. The president, who has been in office since 2019 and was elected to a second term in chaotic elections in December, was unharmed. But the attack, coming amid an escalating rebellion in the east of the country, once again backed by Congo's neighbour Rwanda, has many on edge. "This was an ambiguous, strange, bizarre, but also telling affair," says Jason Stearns, a former head of the UN Security Council's investigation team in Congo. "Why would you start in Kamerhe's house and then move to the palace? Who seriously thinks that with 50 people poorly trained and outfitted, you could overthrow a government?" Many Congolese have asked the same questions. Some suspect domestic politics were at play and point to the bad blood between Mr. Kamerhe and Mr. Tshisekedi. The two men teamed up before a rigged election in 2018 put them both in power. But the president moved against his former ally after taking office. In 2020, Mr. Kamerhe was jailed on charges of embezzling almost $50 million, though he was later acquitted on appeal. Mr. Kamerhe, who has his own presidential ambitions, is now angling to win a leadership election in the National Assembly. That would possibly give him powers to block Mr. Tshisekedi's stated aim of amending the constitution, a move critics say could pave the way for the president to extend his time in office beyond his current term limits. Mr. Tshisekedi's supporters insist that this was a genuine attempt to assassinate the president. Ruling party officials say the coup must have been backed by America. They say Mr. Malanga had the tacit support of Rwanda, which is accused by the UN of backing the rebel M23 group in eastern Congo. They also suspect the involvement of Kenya, whose relations with Congo have been strained since its troops were booted out of the country for failing to defeat M23. The American ambassador, Lucy Tamlin, has promised Congo's authorities the fullest cooperation as they investigate and hold accountable any US citizen involved in criminal acts. Even so, the participation of three Americans in this fiasco is embarrassing for Joe Biden's administration, which is trying to maintain influence in Congo, given the country's vast reserves of critical minerals such as cobalt, which is used in batteries for electric vehicles. America is currently considering a request by Congo's government to ease its sanctions on Dan Gertler, an Israeli businessman. America's Treasury Department has accused him of using his close friendship with Joseph Kabila, Congo's previous president, to amass a fortune through corrupt mining and oil deals. It reckons these cost Congo more than $1.3 billion in revenues between 2010 and 2012 alone. Under the proposed deal, Mr. Gertler, who has denied any wrongdoing, would have to sell his assets in Congo. American diplomats fret that loss of their influence would open the door for Russia, which has sealed alliances with several of the military juntas that have seized power in West Africa and the Sahel in recent years. Polling last year by the Congo Research Group at New York University and local think tanks found that Congolese viewed Russia more favourably than any other foreign country. Almost 61% of respondents had a good opinion of Russia, compared with 35% for America.